An exposition of Matthew 24, chapter 11, Signs of the Lord's Coming. We have now come to the more direct answer to the question, what shall be the sign of your coming? This answer is given. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This contains the most specific answer, though another class of signs has already been noticed, which are fulfilled in modern spiritualism. The close connection of the signs in the sun, moon, and stars to the coming of Christ and events related to it show that here we have the answer to the question of the disciples. As we hold the advent of Christ to be a literal coming, so we hold that these signs are literal, according to the first and obvious meaning of the terms used, not symbolic. There is no consistency in the view that they are figures or symbols. A teacher in a theological college in one of the Western states told us, when asked of what they were symbols, that the sun meant the civil power of the Jews, the moon, the ecclesiastical power, and the stars, the great men of that nation. This would make the Savior say, in the year 29 AD, under the reign of Tiberius and Pilate, that sometime in the future, or when Jerusalem was destroyed, in 70 AD, the civil power of the Jews should be obscured or lost. The absurdity of this declaration it is difficult to equal, for everyone must know that they had not even a vestige of civil power at that time to lose. They had not power to punish one whom their highest tribunal had judged worthy of death, and they acknowledged Caesar as their only king, not fulfilled in Jerusalem. It has been urged by those holding the universalist view that great signs were shown just before the capture and destruction of Jerusalem, and that these fulfilled this prophecy. Dr. Clark mentioned some in his notes. But so far from these being signs of his coming, or of the end, the Savior distinctly says of them, the end is not yet. These are the beginning of sorrows. The signs are closely related to his coming, and therefore here is found the answer to the question under consideration. We are told by authors that certain signs and omens did take place before the destruction of Jerusalem. See Clark's commentary. And then they also claim that the tribulation of this chapter was the siege and destruction of Jerusalem. But that cannot be true, for the text says, immediately after the tribulation, these signs shall appear. It is supposed that the signs denoted the coming destruction, or tribulation. But that is not the case. The signs are after the tribulation, and denote the approach of another event. The theory which we are calling in question would make it appear that the signs of Christ's coming are given after his coming. But neither his coming nor that tribulation relate to the destruction of Jerusalem. The scriptures are not so inconsistent as that view would make it appear. Signs in the heavens. If it be indeed true that the signs of verse 29 are literal, that must decide the controversy. And that they are literal, there is one point of proof which seems quite conclusive. In Luke 21 the same things are spoken of in the following manner. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity. The signs in the sun, moon, and stars are distinct from the things upon the earth. They are not fulfilled among the nations of the earth. Here is a fact the conclusion of which is unavoidable. Compare with, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Harmony of the literal view. We will now notice the harmony of the literal view. 1. Paul said there should come a great apostasy before the coming of the Lord. Christ said the same in Matthew 24. 2. Paul said that at the coming of Christ the saints will be gathered together unto him. The Savior said the same in Matthew 24. 3. Paul said that when the Lord comes, the holy angels will come with him. The Savior said the same thing in Matthew 24. Again, in speaking of the apostasy and its fruits, Paul said that a great anti-Christian power should arise, which should continue till the time of the Lord's coming. Daniel speaks of the same power, gives it the same characteristics of self-exaltation and blasphemy, says it shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and practice and prosper till the time comes that the saints possess the kingdom. The Savior speaks of the same persecution, the great tribulation upon the elect, and says that the saints will possess the kingdom when he comes. Compare further. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, either does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The saints were not called to inherit the kingdom. At the destruction of Jerusalem, all nations were not gathered at that time to have judgment passed upon them. The signs in the heavens came after the tribulation. The greatest tribulation the saints of Christ ever suffered was under the Roman power. It was severe under pagan Rome, but far more terrible and destructive, as it was of longer continuance, under papal Rome. Under the influence of the German Reformation in the 16th century, this tribulation began to wane. It ceased early in the 18th century. In the latter part of the 18th and early part of the 19th century, the signs in the heavens were fulfilled. They are not signs of the tribulation, nor is the tribulation connected with the coming of Christ. They are signs of his coming, and they stand between the tribulation and his coming. His coming is now near, for these signs are fulfilled.